Oh, I get it. All right. 807 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you along. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And lots to talk about this hour, and we'll get with you on the text line and on the phone line. Speaking of the phone line, though, I want y'all to say hello to Dr. Alex Beebe, Assistant Professor of Geology at the University of South Alabama, joining us to talk about earthquakes. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. And if people have not heard, Alex has been on with us on the Midday Show quite a few times talking about earthquakes, but I wanted to get him on this morning because yesterday, is this part of the clustering, another earthquake in our area?
Yeah, this makes it number 5, so definitely an earthquake swarm.
And that's it. That was a term, swarm. Wait, so how many do you have to hit before you have a swarm?
I'd say it depends on the area, but if it's a quiet area and you get a series of them, if you get, 2, 3, 4, and now we're up to 5, then I would classify this as a swarm in my book, for sure.
2.5 magnitude, that's one of the smaller of the ones we've had lately.
Yeah, the highest that we've seen, if I'm not mistaken, was 3.1, which is, again, that's a very low magnitude earthquake. So this one, even weaker, and again, probably not something that's going to cause much damage and maybe hard to even notice, even if you're in the area.
At what magnitude does this start to become a serious earthquake? What are they used to seeing out in the Californias?
If you get up to around a 6 or so, that's when you're going to start to cause a lot of damage, even a potential loss of life. So magnitude 6 is where most geologists, most geophysicists will kind of raise their eyebrows and say, well, that was a big one. That one has the potential to do some harm.
Now, when you talk about this swarming here in our area, is there like a, because we'll hear when people talk about earthquakes elsewhere, like in the Pacific Rim or something like that, that there's pre-quakes, the big quake, and then aftershocks. Are these like that, or are they classified differently?
They are a little bit different in the sense that here there doesn't seem to have been a main event. They've kind of all been around the same magnitude, all like 2 to 3 or so. So within a tight magnitude range. So I guess the difference between a swarm here would be just a series of earthquakes where there's no main shake that's followed then by aftershocks and things are kind of settling back down. So here it just seems to be just the constant magnitude earthquakes that are coming out.
It's raising some eyebrows, though, as people are interested, because this is, something we don't talk about all the time here along the Gulf Coast, and that is tremors. Describe to folks what is causing these earthquakes, because it's a little different than we picture somewhere else, right? And what makes the earth shake around here?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's a lot different here than what we tend to get in places like California and around the Pacific Ocean, the Ring of Fire. You think about big earthquakes over there kind of being a regular event. Here we have faults in the subsurface, faults in the crust, but for the most part we say that they're dormant. They're not involved in actual plates sliding past one another. So at one time they were, though. So we say that these faults are mostly dormant, but occasionally they get reactivated. Typically is kind of the load, the crust is readjusting itself or sagging or settling into place. I kind of think about it like an old house that creaks every now and then. You kind of get these jolting events as things just kind of settle into place.
Okay, so what pressure, if it's not plates colliding or rubbing again, what pressure is causing it?
Well, the best explanation for these particular faults is that we just have a tremendous amount of weight that's being placed in our area, in our region of the Gulf Coast. This is what we call a sedimentary basin. It's basically like a big bowl shape, the Gulf of Mexico. And we have a number of streams and rivers, everything from the Mississippi to what flows into Mobile Bay, that are carrying with them large amounts of sediments. And they have been for hundreds of thousands, millions of years. And that sediment gets dumped in our area, and as a result, we build up weight, we build up pressure, and that causes things to kind of sag and recompensate that load, that we're collecting here.
So the particulates of the sediment that are in the water falling out, those little tiny grains, mm-hmm. enough of them have fallen to create enough weight to push down on the crust.
It's a little bit over a long period of time. But yeah, you're right. We get, Mobile Bay is not known for having crystal clear water at
right.
all times. It gets kind of muddy, especially this time of year. And there's a lot of sediment there, a lot of water coming through our system, and that sediment's been piling up, year after year after year. and you start to extrapolate that for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, you know, millions of years, that's a tremendous amount of weight that we've picked up. And we're sagging as a result here.
So when that sag happens and it gives, that's what causes these tremors?
That's the best explanation that we have to offer for this particular case. There is a fault system that's been identified that we know about, and they're what we call extensional faults, and they're kind of related to the opening of the Gulf of Mexico. So they were already there. You already have these faults. You have these cracks that are in the ground, if you want to think about it that way. So we say that those are planes of weakness. So if we start to put pressure on the crust, then that's going to be the weak spot where movement's most likely to occur.
Is that weak spot, for some reason, there near Bruton in Century, Florida? I mean, it seems like a lot of the reports here lately have had that as kind of a... Could you use epicenter as the term, or what's the correct term?
So the epicenter would be the location on the surface up above where the slipping in the ground actually happens. So where the center of the earthquake, if you were to plot it on a map, that would be the epicenter. But there is a fault line that extends through there. There's actually a couple of main faults, and we kind of lump them all together and call them the Bahamas fracture seismic zone. So it's a series of faults. It runs kind of northwest and southeast and actually heads into Florida, and if you were to extrapolate it, it would go down to the Bahamas. So this is a long fault system or a fault complex where you have all of these cracks in the subsurface that are going to be your most likely place around here, at least for earthquakes to occur. So we don't have, at least as far as I know, we don't have a fault system underneath Mobile or something like that, which is why these earthquakes are kind of focused in a line if you look at where they've occurred.
If you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Alex Beebe, Assistant Professor of Geology with the University of South Alabama. You did mention in a past interview there was these dormant faults. There's one that runs through the Mobile Tensaw Delta, right?
Yeah, there's actually, it's a little bit different, kind of a north-south set of faults that make up what's called the Mobile Graben. So there's two faults, and in the center you have this kind of this block, if you want to call it, which is we call it graben. It's just a fancy word for this block that's sliding down. And so in the past, in this area, that area is kind of sunk down, and that's why we have the confluence of a number of rivers, and we have that delta system as this low-lying area. It's kind of moving through that block that's kind of dropped down there. But those faults, we're not exactly sure what happens to them as they make their way towards the northern part of Mobile Bay. We suspect that they kind of fizzle out, and we kind of leave the graben at that point.
This question here from the text line from Dan, and this kind of goes in with a couple different questions. He said, I wondered about the tremors. Is there oil in Jay? He's talking about Jay, Florida. Has been taken out of the earth now for a couple of decades. I'm just wondering if the void created by removing the oil is causing some downward shifting to fill that void.
You know, that's a really good question. And actually, there has been a study in that particular area. There was a magnitude 4.9 earthquake that happened in 1997, and the USGS investigated that area because there is oil production, to see if there was a relationship between the two. And usually when geologists are looking at a relationship for what we call human-induced earthquakes with petroleum activities, we're looking at not the oil extraction, you know, pulling oil out of the ground and creating a void, because actually, as it turns out, that tends to make faults stronger, because you're removing fluid that's kind of pushing the two sides of the fault apart. So when you release that pressure, then the rocks can kind of rest on top of one another, and there's a lot more friction to hold things in place. But associated with oil production, we do get a lot of wastewater, and it's very heavily contaminated and usually re-injected back down into the ground. And that has led to earthquakes in certain areas. And so that's what the investigation was about, this paper that came out kind of studying the area. And they kind of pointed that there may have been a link between petroleum production and the earthquake, but this was back in 1999. The paper was released, and there haven't been any earthquakes until now, so it's kind of hard to make that connection between the two. But there are areas where Oklahoma is a good example where petroleum production, we suspect heavily, has led to an increase in the frequency and also the magnitude of earthquakes.
Wow, wow. What about looking forward now, this swarming effect? I mean, this is going to be the toughest question ever. Do you see, if you call Las Vegas and put a wager down, Dr. Beebe, on whether we'll see another little tremor or two, what would you say?
I would say as long as we're still having tremors, then the odds are there. I think the odds are more favorable that we would have an earthquake now as opposed to, 5 years ago when it was totally quiet. So when the moving is occurring, then that's probably the best time to get another earthquake coming up.
Wow.
But I'm not saying that there's going to be an earthquake, obviously.
Sure. You're just saying if you had to look over the long span of thousands of years, when there's one, there's a better chance of having another one close to it.
It seems to be the case, especially in this area here.
And remind folks, too, how y'all know when some of these earthquakes that are so light that people don't feel them, how y'all know they happened.
So we use a device called a seismometer. And it, basically what it is it's almost like a microphone, except it listens for a little bit lower frequency sound. And we put these seismometers out. We have one on the campus of the University of South Alabama. And the USGS operates a number of them worldwide, and they're basically just listening devices. We're just listening for the different seismic waves, which are very similar to sound waves. We're listening for those waves to pass through the Earth. And once we get something large enough or we're close enough by, then we hear them and we see them show up on what's called a seismograph. You're probably familiar with the needle, kind of leaving the squiggles behind as a recording of time. And we see these tremors show up, and we actually have captured the earthquakes from over the Florida-Alabama state line. We've captured them on our seismometer here on campus. They're very, very faint, though. I mean, magnitude 2, magnitude 3, these are very light earthquakes, and they're really hard to even separate sometimes from just the background, the ambient seismic activity, the ambient noise, in other words, just wind, for instance, and waves, and vehicle traffic, things like that can generate sound as well. So when we look at our seismometer, these earthquakes just barely stand out. You probably wouldn't be able to find them unless you knew what you were looking for and when the earthquakes occurred.
Fascinating information here, and maybe we'll be ringing you up again soon. You know what? We will ring you up again soon and talk more about this, Dr. Beebe. We appreciate your time.
All right,
it's Dr. Alex Beebe, Assistant Professor of Geology at the University of South Alabama. A little heads up on some of the shaking that's been going on lately. We're coming right back. We'll grab your phone calls. Lots more to talk about this hour, 343-0106. This is Mobile Mornings. All right, 8:24, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Sean and Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. And we talk about our podcast page, and you can go there and get full episodes like of Mobile Mornings or Midday Mobile or Great Evening Shows, Sports Night Tonight.
Yep.
Right, that'll be posted up. You can get weekend shows. But we also do like one-off interviews like that one with Dr. Beebe. We've done those in the past on the Midday Show. I think the first time he's been on with us on the morning show. We'll post that up here in just a little bit. So if you subscribe already to get our podcast, cool. You're going to get it on your phone. If not, you can go get it a la carte from the podcast tab on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. If you want to share it with family or friends or coworkers about earthquakes in our area, they might say, well, I heard we had an earthquake. You can say, funny, here's an interview you can listen to with somebody who knows.
Yeah, we upload every single hour of the live show, but for some of those stories that are really timely or really interesting, one that you might want to go back and re-listen to, or like Sean just said, share it with your family and friends. We'll cut them up so you have just that one interview, so you don't have to go scrolling through the hour that you've probably already listened to find it again. And also, it's easy to share from most of those podcast pages. They have a share button when you're listening to a specific episode. Just grab that link, and then you can text it, email it, whatever you want to do with it.
Hey, if you're getting it from one of those services, too, we sure appreciate all those stars and thumbs up and, all the... in other words, give us a good rating on there. And if you want to leave a comment, that's cool as well.
Yeah, speaking of good ratings, also votenappies.com. Time right now. They're in the nomination process. So now through I think midnight on April 7th. So you have all day April 7th to continue to get those nominations in. But that's just the first part of the NAPI award voting process. So you can nominate now through April 7th for so many of the local shows that I know you love to listen to here on FM Talk 106.5. And then we'll see who made it past that part of the process coming up later in April. And then that's when the real voting goes down.
Yeah, so thank you over at VoteNAPIs.com. And like you were referencing, let me break it down this way. We're a victim of our own content creation, because the way the NAPIs are, when they look at media and look at radio, listen, there's a lot of stations in town that don't have anybody local. There's some that have local folks or one local person, or and we're kind of we do 40 hours a week of locally created content, organic content here at the radio station. So many shows. I mean, we're live every day of the week. We have people in the studios doing shows. So we're almost a victim of the fact that when the NAPIs say, well, your favorite local radio show or whatever, we compete more at this station. We compete more against ourselves than we do the market at large. And that's fine. I just want y'all to remember all the shows you listen to on the station. I love the great, the accolades we get for this show or the midday show. But think about our nighttime shows. Think about our weekend shows. Think about all those specialty shows that are done. One that you really love, make sure to nominate it in the NAPI proceedings, and then hopefully vote for it to win.
Yeah, when it comes to voting, we certainly eat our own sometimes, but yes. I'll take that over not having all these shows to compete against.
No, I'm happy with it. I just say it's kind of, we're a victim of the fact that we do so many shows. So the competition, the way I see it, is not as much as, local shows versus other local shows. It's within our family here at FM Talk 106.5. There are so many shows. I wish... Rob, if you're listening, Ashley, if you're listening, they would expand that somehow into more possibilities for our radio station, because we have so many different kind of, like, it's a Swiss Army knife, right? We have different shows for different things, and I wish there were more categories, but just that you find your favorite show on the station. Could be one of those weekend shows, could be a lot of things, and make sure you hit it up at votenappies.com.
That's for sure, now through April 7th.
All right, let's set this up. So it was the news that, it's funny, as people have run to their corners, as always on this, you've got a lot of people saying, well, that doesn't exonerate the president. You have other people saying the president's exonerated. What we're talking about here is the letter that comes out from Attorney General Barr, letter on the Mueller report, no collusion, right? A four-page letter to Congress came out yesterday. Attorney General William Barr summarized some of the findings from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Barr writes, the special counsel found no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, but on obstruction of justice, Barr quotes the Mueller report and says, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him, end quote. I would argue that Mueller needs to get cracking on that. Let's go ahead. I mean, when you leave that open-ended thing there.
Just say yes or no.
Yeah. Barr wrote the decision that was left to him, that he and his deputy Rod Rosenstein determined the evidence is, quote, not sufficient to establish a president committed an obstruction of justice offense, end quote. Special counsel spokesman Pete Carr declined comment about the AG's letter. Letter describes two main Russian efforts to influence the election and said Mueller did not make a conclusion on whether the obstruction of justice occurred. I mean, this is red herring time. Before boarding a plane from Florida back to Washington yesterday afternoon, the president called the attorney general's summary a complete and total exoneration. He says it was a legal takedown that failed, and the stress is that there was no obstruction. So when we come back from the break, we'll let the president give you that in his own words and then hear from you at 343-0106. Sounds like a plan?
Sounds like a plan to me. And it all started with a little dossier.
Yes, the dossier. And how much American tax money has been wasted because of this dossier? I think I'd like to see a stat on that. Probably wouldn't like to. I don't want to get upset this early in the morning.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings Monday style. And right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Happy Monday morning, Dalton.
Hey, same to you. So tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive on this happy Monday?
Buddy, we're just in our last week of our big March, kind of, we always say it, we call it this every year, Dalton, March Madness. Mm-hmm. in the simple formula for everybody listening is every car dealer like myself has got to get rid of the last year's inventory, make room for what's coming in. So these new 2019 trucks, we've been talking about those a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got to make room for them. So we've got some remaining 2018 trucks as these new six-function tailgate trucks like the AT4 come in. And I've got about 15 of those trucks left, and we are giving customers, instead of 15% off like our competitors, we're all the way up to 21% off. And that's just an example of like over 11 grand off some of the trucks we have. And so I just want to invite everybody to go to our website, check it out. We only have a few left, and Dalton, there's examples of that on things like the SUVs, the GMC Acadias and Terrains and Buick Enclaves, and it's just a great time. This week is the last week for the sale, Dalton, and it all ends at the end of March, just like March Madness, buddy.
All right. Yeah, the trucks are hot right now, but you can check out pictures of those and the rest of the inventory there at McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate it, Mitch.
You got it, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38 FM Talk 106.5, and we'll get to the clip here from President Trump yesterday talking about the Mueller report. Also, I've seen some put some pictures up. I put a picture up on the Twitter feed this morning. We're talking about sediment and the causes of earthquakes in our area with Dr. Alex Beebe. Happened to be up in Dallas County mm-hmm. over the weekend. I was in Wilcox County and Dallas County.
How were the roads?
Some were fine. Some were... There was, you know, believe it or not, I think it's 21 that comes out of Selma heading down towards Orville. It was fantastic.
Oh.
Others were not so fantastic. I wanted to take a picture of a road. I was traveling to go stay some time with our buddy Mike Ward, who hosts the outdoor show. He and I host the outdoor show together, and the road leading to his place, it says, it's got a state sign that says rough road. It's a paved road that has a state paid for sign to say rough road.
I would never tell someone to steal a sign, but if that, one of those just showed up in my
exactly
yard, right. I would take it.
Yes, it says rough road. I wanted to get a picture, but we were traveling at a pretty good clip there. I will point you towards the Twitter feed. You'll see a picture of a couple of the fossils I picked up digging in the dirt up in Dallas County. I think it's pretty cool. We talk about the sea level rise issue. How much is normal? Well, you know that Selma was beachfront property back in the Cretaceous. So check it out. It's on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right. So President Trump commenting on the Mueller report yesterday, and you pointed out after this coming out on Friday, gotta say a lot of people. I think this is not a partisan thing. There's a lot of people were surprised there was no tweeting from the president before yesterday.
Yeah, I can't believe that he held his tongue, or I guess held his thumbs from tweeting from. I think it was released around 3 p.m., 4 p.m. Friday, which a lot of people pointing out that's news dump central Friday
yes.
afternoon, especially during March Madness, where probably 30-40% of the country's just engrossed in basketball games. But that's when the Mueller report came out, and you'd think Trump would have been tweeting about it before and after, but he held his tongue until yesterday.
Yes, which I mean, you think in what the president's gone through with this investigation, you'd want to take your victory lap and do the uh-huh.
Yeah.
So now he's been tweeting a bunch today, and we'll talk about this. He's many tweets out today. No collusion, no obstruction, complete and total exoneration. Keep America great. Some of the many tweets coming from the president this morning. But let's go to the clip. Here he is on the tarmac, as like all good clips of President Trump need to have the sound of a jet or a helicopter in the background as he talks. Here we go. Yesterday.
After a long investigation, after so many people have been so badly hurt, after not looking at the other side, where a lot of bad things happened, a lot of horrible things happened, a lot of very bad things happened for our country, it was just announced there was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction, and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration.
All right, so that's the last is what's getting giving the Democrats some ability. The Democrats are trying to save face right now.
Oh, yeah, big time.
They're trying to save face and say, oh, yeah, well, there's this other thing. And the president does open up there at the end of it to that because he says there's no obstruction, and they go back and they parse words here and say, well, in fact, if you listen to what Attorney General Barr said, the report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, but it also does not exonerate him. I really wish the Mueller report or Barr would finalize that one way or another so that could all be said and done. But the no collusion part, it is specific that there was no collusion. It does say that the Russians were trying to influence the election. I will add into that, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, duh. I was going to say duh. Yeah. Duh. And they will continue to do that. That's our new world. Listen, the United States, we've been doing it. Other countries, it doesn't make it okay, but we do it. They do it. The idea of, getting the person most favorable to your nation to be elected to lead another nation, that has been part of realpolitik for a long time.
And it's become, we're in a new frontier right now with the internet and the different ways to spy on people and different ways to trick people into, falling in line with whatever Russia or China wants to do. But I think that the Democrats and then the media who followed this and were basically putting out accusations, the media that's supposed to be neutral, with those headlines that are supposed to be attention-grabbing, they accused the president of a lot of things that have now been proven not true. And they've probably done the last thing that they wanted to do by going all in on this subject is give him the fuel to win in 2020. Because if you don't think he's going to use this as his main, his central campaign, what he runs on, that he's been treated so unfairly by those in the media and that the Democrats wanted him out of office so badly that they went through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has the fuel to run just straight through 2020. And I think he gained a lot of points probably with this coming true.
Yeah. How many dollars did this cost the American taxpayer too for this, what the president called the witch hunt on collusion? Here's one of the parts of this that is interesting to me, and I don't know what the Democrats think, but if I was a Democrat that thought maybe there wasn't collusion, I'd have wanted the Mueller report to go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the accusation there and you have people just jump to conclusions and say they believe this collusion. I think the worst thing is what just happened for Democrats. They got pie on their face. They're trying to figure out how to save face today after pretty much, like you said, they and a lot of mainstream news outlets saying it was a Mueller report, it was on collusion, but almost jumping to conclusion that it was collusion. And not saying they're trying to figure out if there was collusion. They're saying this collusion investigation.
And I don't see how it could have dragged on any longer. How long was he working on the report? 2 years? Something like that? Maybe.
I don't know. I think it started. Didn't it start? And somebody can get your Google on. This started before he was inaugurated. Because he would have been inaugurated in January of 17,
mm-hmm.
right? I think the investigation started before that.
And the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele dossier, that was paid for by the Clinton campaign,
right.
or by the Democrats, the dossier that's been proven completely untrue, that's what really started this chain of events. And I think also, a lot of the Republicans that were bashing Mueller before ever hearing anything that he had to put
That's
out
right.
about his report, who thought he was going to be completely one-sided and try to take Trump down. Well, now that the report's out, do you feel any differently about Robert Mueller?
Great question. Let's go to the phones. Answer that. 343-0106. And John in Mobile, first up. Hey, John.
Okay, my answer's no.
You don't feel any differently about Mueller?
No. He worked for Obama for too long. He's tainted.
So even though he's tainted, he comes out and says no collusion.
Well, look at who he hired. And this is proof that there was no collusion.
The proof is there. Yeah, we're good.
You got people like Andrew Weissman, people that hated Donald Trump, that he hired. He didn't hire the first Republican. And
Rosenstein.
It was a witch hunt. But what I want to see Clapper, Brennan especially, Comey and those people at the FBI, I want to see them in shackles.
Well, they're going to say that the Comey angle, John, I think they're going to say the Comey angle is what the Democrats are trying to say face today are still holding on to that for obstruction, right? That the firing of Comey was the obstruction.
Well, to quote Alan Dershowitz, a president cannot obstruct justice by doing his constitutional duty. He had every right to fire Comey. Even if Comey, let's say Comey had a horrible-looking tie on, and Trump thinks, you know what, anybody that doesn't have a
you work at the leisure of the president. I get that part. But if you had any investigation coming, I will argue things that I don't believe in. I'm just saying that the arguments could be made that if there was Comey was about to drop the other shoe here on the president and he fired him, that would be an obstruction of justice. That's going to be the argument they make.
Well, it's going to be as good as the one they made before. I just think one of the funny things, I think, is the way all these Democrats are running around screaming like chickens with their heads cut off about, you know, now we got to look at this, it's not complete, and all this kind of stuff. We want the whole report. And it's just asinine. They just keep stepping on rakes every time they step. You know what I mean?
Stepping on rakes.
They'll
yes.
step, and the end of the rake will come flying up, hit them in the face.
I know. By the way, just side note, have you ever done that?
Yes.
then you're probably the guy that slipped on a banana peel too, right?
No. I made a mistake one day. I'd like to, you know, if the Democrats had any decency, if they had any lick of integrity at all, Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell would resign in disgrace.
Are you holding your breath?
No, I'm not holding my breath.
There we go. John, appreciate the call. Got to jump to the break and get back to the phones at 343-0106. It is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Right, 8:52, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. You know, Monday is key because this is when people get with starting a project. You know, Monday's a project day, and if that project involves getting junk out of your house, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Not just your house, it could be your office, storage unit, around the house. I mean, get a swing set, sit in the backyard. There are your youngest child's in their 30s. Maybe it's time to just let it go and get rid of the swing set. Listen, you got junk, big junk, small junk, piles of junk. You got junk, you need it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Lucky for us, my buddy Trey has got the local franchise for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He's a local guy, buddy of mine, working in Mobile and Baldwin counties, commercial properties, residential properties. And I love the deal that, like, when we dealt with him before, you get an appointment time. He gets it. You're busy too, so it's not like, we'll be there sometime between Tuesday and Friday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. No, you'll get an actual day. They're like, hey, we're coming on Wednesday at 4. If that's the deal y'all make, that's the time that works for you, that's when they're there. They get the work done efficiently as well. And the price they quote you, that's the price you pay, even if the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was, which in my house, it could be a lot bigger than they thought it was. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. And George in Mobile next up. Hey, George.
Hey, Sean. Nice show.
Thanks. Good to hear from you.
In reference to the last caller, if it makes a big deal, if the Democrats had any sense of decency,
right.
Guess what? They don't. But something I don't understand, and no one's ever explained to me, it could explain a lot about this whole collusion. How is it that there were no Russians that wanted Hillary to win? I mean, it's the only evidence they had that the Russians colluded with Trump. Is it the fact that Hillary lost, and in spite of the media and everything else trying to get Hillary elected, the only reason she didn't get elected is because the Russians wanted Hillary? It doesn't seem...
No. I talked about that back when those first it was rolled out. I said Hillary is why Hillary didn't get elected. Not,
sure.
But the Russians did put the lien on it. The report, I think we kind of knew that. Then the report puts the fact that Russians put the lien in for Donald Trump. They also put the lien in for
Bernie Sanders too. Right?
They want chaos.
Bernie passed Hillary in the primaries.
Right. They don't. You know, I don't think the Russians. I mean, if you're thinking about realpolitik, right? Do you want what you want is chaos, right? You want to put the candidate that has the underdog element into the mix to try to mix things up. You want to try to, you know, shake everything out. So, I mean, it makes sense that they were pushing for the person they thought would be most disruptive. The thing is, with President Trump, it was disruptive for change.
But then you're making the assumption that the Russians are monolithic. I mean, this country...
Oh, right. No, but we're not talking about the Russian people. We're talking about KGB. We're talking about Putin.
Okay, but the Russians, I think Putin probably has some people in his purview and his staff that wanted Hillary to win, and they probably did just as much to help her as the other ones did to help Donald Trump.
But does she wrestle bear like me?
Yeah.
She
that's right. The one other thing is nobody wants to mention how this whole thing, how the role that John McCain played in this fiasco. I mean, he's the one that turned the Steele dossier over like it was some kind of big news. He had a hand in this as well.
Yeah, and that, you know, that was leading into some of what the president had to say about McCain the other day. I just that's one of those places where I diverge from a lot of folks, and I get the anger of the president on that. But at the same time, you know what my home training was like in speaking ill of the dead. I think he should do it in private and not do it in public.
But then, particularly the media, when he was running for president, he was the most vilified. I mean, they pilloried this guy.
Sure.
On a daily basis. Now all of a sudden he died. Oh, he's an American hero. He's Mr. Wonderful. Right. Okay. Anyway.
Thank you, George. Good to hear from you. All right, good to hear from you.
Yeah, I've used a lot of March Madness analogies this month.
Why is that?
Well, because there's some basketball stuff going on.
Right,
but I think that the Democrats went so hard on this Russia connection because of the loss to Hillary. And it's like your mm-hmm. top team getting upset and you only blame the referees. There had to have been a reason why Trump pulled off one of the greatest political upsets in the history. And they believed that the reason wasn't because Hillary was a weak candidate, but had to be because Russia colluded with the Trump campaign and were able to push him over the top. And whether they truly believed it or not, that's what they were able to put in front of their supporters to give reasons for why they lost so badly.
Okay, we've said this way back when, in 2016. Here's how you defeat, they'll say, well, this meddling in elections has gone on forever for other countries versus, okay, and also internal politics will do that. The way you mitigate that, the way you nullify that is using your own judgment. When you see something on Facebook, when you see something that's so ridiculous, do your own research. Who are these people who are telling you this thing? Or they're acting like, there's people who will act like they're a Trump supporter to say things that, will come back on the on other Trump supporters. There's people that are going to act like they're on, from the left. They're actually from the right. People from the right act like they're in the left. Russians act like Americans. Use your better judgment when looking through that and try to find multiple sources and find out what is true to you. And at the point you do that, you nullify the ability of these kind of trolls to get their work done. If you just go, yeah, I don't buy that, and you don't get enraged and you move on with your life, then you're better off. Right, we'll talk about this more in the midday. I'm sorry we missed some calls here. We'll get y'all back on noon today. Midday Mobile right here on FM Talk 106.5. We're out of here. Mike Gallagher Show on next.